Dr. Carson, how you been?
I've been doing very well. How about yourself?
Oh, doing fine. It's Scott Slade here along with Monica Matthews. I think the last time we chatted, you were still running for president. It's great to have you back on WSB.
Well, thank you. Good to be back in Atlanta.
Now, well, give us the update and the reason you're here.
I'm going to be, first of all, having a roundtable discussion with many community leaders and developers. Because, you know, Atlanta has done some very excellent things in terms of community redevelopment. You look at East Lake Community and places like that, and also talk about some of the future development issues and talk about how to increase the amount of affordable housing, things like that. And then I'll be also visiting one of the sites with Karen Handel.
Congresswoman Karen Handel in her district in Roswell, the veranda at Groveway. Now, we hear this is the first phase of the Roswell Housing Authority Community Revitalization Project. Why is that worthy of your attention? That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Well, all developments are worthy of my attention. I just can't get to all of them because, you know, in this case, we're looking at P3, public-private partnerships, and how they can be most effectively used so that you create win-win situations. And here we're looking at creating, you know, different income levels that benefit multiple different structures, giving landlords more flexibility, bringing the appropriate types of businesses into the area so that people have access to things. And those are the kind of models that really work. And many people have a very aberrant impression of what multifamily housing is. And they think back to the old images of projects with rats and roaches and crime and all that stuff. And it's not done that way anymore. That's the old model. There are still some public housing projects around, but we're in the process of converting them, you know, through programs like rental assistance demonstration that brings private capital in. You know, ultimately, I would like to eliminate all of that kind of blight from across this country. And these are the kinds of things that get that started.
And you mentioned public-private partnerships, the triple P, which seems to be working very well for some road projects around Metro Atlanta, Dr. Carson. But how do you incent private industry to buy into helping the poor when you get right down to it? Where's the profit motive for them?
Well, you look at the Tax and Job Act that was passed last year. It created opportunity zones. Now, every state governor has the ability to designate 25% of their economically distressed areas as opportunity zones, which will have an opportunity fund that people with unrealized capital gains, and there are a lot of people with unrealized capital gains, can invest those into these opportunity zones and bring a tremendous amount of capital to bear up on places that have been economically neglected in the past. So the incentive for them to do that is they get a significant tax break. The money that is unrealized capital gains goes into a long-term fund, and if they leave it in for 10 years, no capital gains has to be paid on the extra realized income.
Do you see a future of the kind of thing we're hearing attached maybe to food stamp benefits, the SNAP program, some sort of work fair program where folks could actually buy in their own sweat equity to these kinds of properties?
Absolutely. We want to do things that encourage people to get involved, to take control of their own futures. You know, you may have heard, well, I'm sure you've heard because it's been blasted all over the place, Carson wants to triple the rents on the most vulnerable people. And of course, that's not true, but it makes for a good story. You know, we're protecting the most vulnerable, the elderly and the disabled. We're talking about work-able people. People who are completely capable of working in an environment where you have employers begging for workers and people begging for trainees. And these are people who pay the minimum rent, which is $25 to $50 a month. If you get any kind of job, you're not even going to be paying the minimum rent anymore. So, you know, those things are always distorted, and just it's kind of sad what happens in our society because people don't get the truth about these things. But it's really all about encouraging people, getting people out of poverty. In the past, HUD has been associated with just putting people under a roof somewhere, and that's not good enough. You know, we have to develop our people because we only have 330 million of them. And that's a quarter of what China has, a quarter of what India has. We have to compete with them in the future. So we really need to start taking advantage of our most precious resource, which is our people.
Dr. Carson, this is Monica Matthews. Good morning, sir. We met a couple of years ago at NRB in Nashville, I believe right before you announced that you were running for presidency. And it's really good to have you this morning. I host a show here on faith, life, and politics, and I want to thank you for inspiring my daughter to actually attend college and minor in neuroscience. You were her,
fantastic.
Mm-hmm, you were her inspiration for that. So we have your book on our bookshelf.
Well, please give her my regards.
I will. So this is very interesting timing because I had no idea you were coming on this morning. It's such a blessing because I'm actually dealing with a woman that I mentor who's coming out of a life of sex trafficking and drugs and a life of crime, and she's doing very well. And I've come along beside her, like you said, you know, to develop and to disciple her because I feel like that's very important for us and it's something that we miss. You know, largely, particularly as it relates to the church. She's doing very well. She works very hard. She works a lot of hours. She has just now qualified for Section 8, but had to actually roll back her hours because she would have no longer qualified for Section 8. And I was honestly surprised at the that I could have actually qualified for Section 8 as a widow for like the past 17 years of my life. I didn't realize how high that threshold was. But my question to you is, where is the oversight with a lot of these properties? Because the problem we're running into, sir, is that they are rat infested. They are mold infested. They're not livable conditions. To the extent where I actually called our city council president, Felicia Moore, last night of Atlanta to say, I have a woman who deserves a chance because she works for that chance and I want to help her. And I cannot sleep at night knowing that she's living in unlivable conditions.
Yes, well, that's a significant problem. You know, we are constantly working with the various public housing authorities and oversight committees on these problems. Now, you know, some people say, well, you should immediately condemn those places and get the people out of them. Believe me, I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely love to do that. The problem is there's no place to put them. So, okay. You know, we do work with them. We try to incentivize them to do the right things. We penalize them. In some cases, we actually have to, you know, take the places into receivership. But, you know, unfortunately, it's in the hands so often of people just to have some integrity. And so a lot of times that integrity doesn't exist. And that's one of the reasons that we're in the process of converting a lot of the kind of properties that you just talked about over into more holistic communities with public-private partnerships. Because here, you now bring the private sector into the equation. And now they have a vested interest in making sure that that property remains, you know, viable and well-maintained. And that makes a big difference than the government trying to do it all.
Right. No, I agree. And I often say, you know, I believe in you. You know, I raised my daughter on my own as a widow, and it wasn't easy. And I know you were raised in similar conditions with your mother as a single mother. And, you know, but I'm a staunch advocate of the church rolling up their sleeves and getting involved and taking more of the burden off of the government as opposed to,
absolutely,
you know. So, yeah, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. It used to be the job of the church. They used to do all of that stuff. And then the government came along and said, we can do it better, which they couldn't. But it really should be a combination, you know, public, private, faith-based, nonprofits, all of them together, because the problem involves all of us. And then you mentioned the thing about the woman who got the Section 8 voucher. Mm-hmm. You know, we have put together a task force now looking at Section 8 vouchers and trying to make them more palatable to landlords. But also, we're proposing changes in the rent structure, and these are like the major changes. It's not the raising of the rent. The major structures, assessing the income every 3 years instead of every 1 year upon which you base the rent, so that people aren't discouraged from taking a job and getting more income, or getting married, or doing all the things that actually lead people out of poverty. It seems like the system we have is designed to keep people in poverty.
Yes, I say that nearly weekly on my show. So how are you going to make that more palatable? Because, listen, I'm to the point where I'm going to put her in my car and drive her around myself and make the pitch with her and for her, you know, to vouch for her in addition to her voucher. You know, I'm thinking, here's a matter of fact, I was asked, you know, does she have children? Sadly, women with children are discriminated against in these environments a lot of times. She does not have children. She is single and she's living a really clean life, and I want to keep her that way. And so what are we doing to make it more palatable for a landlord?
Well, the announcement actually just came out yesterday, but we've started a series of roundtable discussions around the country with landlords to find out from them, rather than speculating what the reason is.
That's
to find
good.
Out from them. Mm-hmm. Some of the preliminary information seems to indicate that, you know, there are a lot of regulations that they have to abide by when they take, you know, vouchers that they don't have to with other people. And they just don't want to deal with the hassle.
Right. I can understand that. Wonderful. Thank you for your time. And it's so good. I can't wait to tell my daughter. She's going to just roll over. And thank you for the job you're doing. I'm very glad that you are at the helm of this. God bless.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate being with you all again.
Dr. Carson, anything we've left out here, anything else you'd like to cover while we've got you here? We'll give people, you know, affordable housing has been the mantra now for Atlanta for quite a while, because property value is skyrocketing. And it's getting to where even even lower middle class folks, you know, cannot find an affordable place to live. You know, where do we start?
Well, one of the things that we're doing now is looking to use things like the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing portion of the Fair Housing Act to create more affordable housing. One of the reasons we don't have enough affordable housing is because the regulations and the zoning restrictions. And a lot of the zoning restrictions are based on old models where people think about projects and crime and filth and all that kind of stuff. That's not done anymore with multifamily housing. We don't do any of that, support any of that, and we only look at holistic development at this point. So, you know, it's very important that we use the government in a way that actually solves problems. And the old system had a very complex computer tool that few people could use correctly, that created these big maps with different colors representing different demographics, and they would say if you could move some of these pink ones over to where these brown ones are and some of these green ones over to where the black ones are, we solve the problem. Yeah, it doesn't solve any problem. But what really does solve the problem is breaking down those barriers. And you look at the places with the highest homelessness, like Los Angeles, 70-80% of the land in Los Angeles is zoned for single-family homes with a certain amount of property. You couple that with the enormous regulations, and they just added another one, says you have to have solar panels. You know, the cost escalates dramatically. Who can afford it? You look at the San Francisco Bay Area, the median home price, $1.6 million. This is craziness. So, you know, we need to analyze these things, and we need to actually fix the actual problems, not do build good things where we make everybody say, we love you and you're wonderful. No, let's actually fix the problem.
Something beyond demonstration projects, it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dr. Ben Carson is the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development visiting Atlanta this week. It's great to have you on WSB, sir. Have a great day. Thank you.
Look forward to being with you again.